Hey, thank you to Helix for sponsoring this podcast. Adam has had his Helix mattress for almost a year now, and he's loving it. It's actually hard to get him up. In fact, he won't stop talking about it. You'll understand what we mean when he goes into detail. Thank you for the detail, Adam, later on the episode. But for now, we want to tell our listeners about a special deal going on. Our Sleepy Time Pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and, as if that's not enough, two free pillows for our listeners. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula. That's helixsleep.com/Paula. This is their best offer yet, and I'll bet it won't last long. With Helix, better sleep starts now.
Hey, listener, it's Zach Harper, Amin El-Hassan, and Anthony Mays of Cinephobe. You may be asking yourself, what is Cinephobe? Amin, would you like to fill in the people?
Cinephobe is the podcast where Zach and I watch movies that are poorly rated on Rotten Tomatoes and try to ascertain.
Ascertain?
Yes.
Okay. Ascertain.
Whether or not they're accurately poorly rated, or maybe they didn't get a fair shake. Cinephobe, produced by this guy, Anthony Mays.
Hey, that's me. I produced this show. I also watch the movies, even though that wasn't included in the description, and I also ascertain. This month is...
Whoa!
Oh, Maze, why do you say that? Supercharge it. So that this promo can remain evergreen.
I feel like explaining a little bit more.
In 60 seconds?
I don't know. Maybe I don't bring attention to it. Assuring people like, look, if you listen, you're going to get it. Just give it time.
That's a good promo. Just listen to it.
Give it time.
You'll figure it out.
Is this the promo right now?
Isn't it?
Okay, I think we got it.
Cinephobe.
Wherever you get podcasts.
Coming to you live from the Ray Horseman Studio in North Hollywood, California, it's Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, your comedy field guide to life. Our mission tonight, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no one has gone before, and we're not referring to Miranda Street. We're talking science fiction, folks. With us is veteran Star Trek writer, science consultant, and writer-producer on the Orville, Andre Bormanis. We have beamed him up to answer our questions about writing science fiction. Plus, Paula announces an exciting new division of Poundstone Industries, Cat Toys. Find out if they are catnip for your feline. And listener mail. Is Mrs. Culpepper a damaged spirit who needs to be muzzled? The nobodies of the world speak up, and we are indeed listening. I'm Adam Felber, the Spock of this podcast starship, vainly trying to maintain some semblance of logical conversation. And now, please welcome the woman who reproduces irrelevancies as fast as tribbles reproduce themselves, Paula Poundstone.
Hey! Wow.
Boy, welcome, Paula.
That was a rousing start from house band.
An almighty racket from percussionist Eric Culver, our first ever third time returning house band.
Oh,
Eric, welcome. And tonight he's playing the electronic drum patty machine-y.
Oh, man, it's great.
Yeah,
Thank you so much.
All right.
You know what? It made me feel energized.
Did it?
Unlike
Dr. Scholl's on last week's
inserts
episode.
That we tested their claims last week that they would make you feel more energized and it would make you move more.
It would make you move more, yeah.
I asked my assistant Wendell to send them back.
Because neither of us felt energized, nor did we move any more than we usually do.
No, we tested the claim.
Yeah.
And so I wrote a note. It said, "Dear Dr. Scholl's, my partner and I tried these Dr. Scholl's inserts. Neither of us felt more energized, and we did not move more. So I am returning them." And Wendell, my assistant, he said, because he thinks they're great. So he's like, "What do you mean? They didn't?"
Well, we've had a podiatrist on our show here to tell us that they're not great. So
Wendell thought they were great. So I said, "No, my feet felt squished." And he said, "Well, did you take out the inserts from your own shoes?"
Yeah, the existing inserts.
"Before you put them in?" And I said, "Well, no." And he said, "Well, you were supposed to do that." I said, "Well, it didn't say it on the package." He said, "It said on the package that there was instructions inside." And I was like, "Oh."
Wow.
So I don't know if that invalidates our sending them back to get my money back.
Well, for one, I told you, I think it was after the show, that I always, you know, buy shoes so that I can easily remove the inserts from, so I can put in my
orthotics. Yes, but that was a little late at that point.
Right, but I didn't realize that you hadn't read directions and therefore hadn't taken...
I didn't read the directions, and then later I tried them again, but they wouldn't stick to my feet. Apparently you have to have shoes.
Yeah, I'd say both of those things are.
So,
both of those things are indeed true.
I don't
true.
Know if the whole returning them for your money back thing, if they're going to say, well, you didn't do it properly. But the truth is, on the package, and you had the experience, you apparently did it properly.
I did it correctly. I took out my existing prescription orthotics and put the Dr. Scholl's inserts in, and I felt neither energized nor prone to move more.
Yeah. No, I saw you. You did not move any more
slothful.
Than normal.
Yeah.
I kept my eye on you the whole time.
Right, and you and I were having about the same experience, except your shoes were tight, and we now know why.
It was very, they were very tight. Yeah, now I do.
Yeah,
now
you were essentially putting a hat on a hat.
I wouldn't have thought of that way, but yeah.
But that's what you were
putting
doing.
Putting a hat on a hat, yeah.
All right, well, I think we're justified, because I know
back.
That I get the money back.
Those were expensive. What do you mean you get the money back?
I mean,
I paid for them.
You get the money back from mine.
Boy, you sound like my
legit.
Kids now.
Yeah.
So you get your money back.
I get your
house.
That
means I get it. Can I get a fraction of that money? speaking of money, by the way, Adam.
You have a new money-making idea.
I have a brilliant money-making idea. I don't know why I didn't think of it a long time ago.
What is
it? My boss, I just hit myself in the head.
My boss
from, don't tell me, sent me 35 pounds of catnip. And I haven't
Doug Berman?
Yeah. I haven't really known what to do with the catnip.
35 pounds?
Yeah. Which is more than any, we can't even use a pound of catnip in my lifetime.
You would need hundreds of cats to do.
Well, precisely.
35.
So what I did was I doubled.
Are you sure it was catnip? He lives in Northern California now.
It was catnip. My cats have been smoking it. So I didn't know what to. So I double bagged 34 pounds of it.
Okay.
Double garbage bagged it and put it in our storage. And Wendell goes to the storage and he says the entire storage facility now
is full
smells
of stone
like,
cats.
Smells like
in the
catnip.
Neighborhood. Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah. And he said eventually they're going to figure out that it's coming from our storage space. So I'm like, how do I get rid of this catnip? So. Okay. I came up with this brilliant idea of making cat toys. And not only am I going to make cat
when
toys.
When life gives you catnip, make cat
make
toys.
Make cat toys. So I'm going to make cat toys that each one has it's a rectangle pillow, right? On one side, there's a cat joke. In this case, it'll be, cats are better than furniture anyways.
Okay.
And on the other side, wait for it, I can customize it to each individual's cat.
What do you mean customize it to each
individual? I can write a note to someone's cat.
So it's going to be printed on one side.
Right.
A cat joke.
Right.
And on the other side,
right.
A custom message from Paula Poundstone.
Precisely. So
for
it'll
the cat.
Say, dear Fluffy, Dave asked me to ask you to stop peeing on the couch.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you're just going to write it, handwrite it in there?
I'm going to handwrite it in
Paula
there.
Paula Poundstone... Well, if this takes off, you're going to get very tired, but I
it's
don't think you're
going to...
Well,
oh, it's going to take off.
Maybe.
And there's going to be a grommet in it. A grommet. So that's a technical term. So you could tie a string in it and drag it around if you want, because cats love that.
They do love that.
Yeah. So that's going to be...
That's great. You know, I've always felt a little morally weird about cat toys with catnip, because it feels like it's less of a toy and more like a... Like drug paraphernalia.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Well, if it was an injectable, I'd feel different about it.
Right. But it's not.
Yeah.
You're not distilling this down to a resin. And,
no, I'm and, not. It's no. not, you know, breaking okay. cat.
I wonder if you could do that. I wonder if you
could make the
cat equivalent of the blue.
If you thought about it a lot, I'll bet you
was
could.
Was it the blue diamond, the blue steel? What was the name of the... Of the blue,
the I can't
the blue
remember.
Meth from
I
Breaking
forget.
Bad.
It was called the blue meth.
Oh, it was called the blue meth.
Yeah, it was called the blue meth.
Okay.
And by the way, I have to tell you something about that. Sleeping right at my feet right now is my dog Mo.
Yes.
Who's a large puppy. She's 8 months old. She's big.
Seemingly weighs about 70 pounds already.
So last night, I am now telling you of a new infestation of the week. Last night, I was working on my computer with my knees up in my bed. You know, leaning, which I should have learned a long time ago not to do because of the times where I've shut the lid and caught my nipples in it. But that's how I was working.
You have a unique ability to take on nipular injuries.
I've never heard that word, nipular. But, all right, so I was working and I felt something on my leg. And then I thought, nah, it's not.
Well, your nipples
and
had fallen off. What?
It was a palmetto bug, a giant roach. A giant roach on my leg. While I'm in bed. And so I screamed and I flicked it. And then I don't know where it went. So now I'm like, well, I can't possibly go to sleep because I'm not sleeping until that bug has been apprehended.
Yes.
And so I'm looking and looking, and then Mo jumps up and started looking.
Where she are we going with this?
The large, it's infestation of the week. She tracked the large, she tracked the large roach. And I was going to take it outside. I don't like to kill things, but I was going to take it outside. But then it was like, you know, it was under a shelf, and I flicked it out of there.
It was either squash or lose.
Three times. I flicked it out of one place. It ran in another. She tracked it again. Three times
it happened.
So she's
tracked. She's hunting roaches.
She's an amazing roach hunter, which, remember we had the lady on who told us about eating bugs?
Yes.
Like, I don't know if this is one of the edible ones, but let me tell you, this would have been Thanksgiving dinner. This is a huge...
It's a big bug.
Huge bug.
No, she was pretty clear that roaches are not among those bugs
eat. Because otherwise, me and Mo, I have another money-making enterprise.
Oh,
which is,
you really don't.
I have
don't.
A dog that can track roaches. I have
Suddenly
a
the cat toy
tracking.
Business sounds like a sound idea.
It is a sound. I'm going to make a lot of money.
What
with
are you going
to
call them? What's the
I don't have a name for it, for heaven's sakes.
Wow, that's kind of half the battle when it comes to animal novelties.
Really?
Yeah, you need a good name.
No, that's not true.
Yeah, it has to look right and it has
really?
To have a funny name. Like,
no.
That'd be like Poundstone's pussy. No.
Oh, great.
Trying to get alliterative. Absolutely not.
Yeah, yeah. That's part of the Trump
that
campaign.
Yes.
No.
So it's not going to be Poundstone's pussy pillows.
I'm probably going to stay away from Poundstone's pussy pillows. I don't know. It's got a ring to it.
It does have a ring to it. And I will tell you that it is currently the best you've got.
Well, yeah, but I'm going to give it some thought.
Okay,
because
give us
I think
thought.
You're going to find, Adam, that when I put my mind to something,
yes,
I really come up with some stuff. For example,
you come up with a lot of stuff.
Did you come up with
a word this week?
I do have a word this week. The word is probity.
Probity.
Which means moral, it's a noun,
mm-hmm.
That means moral excellence, integrity.
Yeah.
Here I'll use it in a sentence. Our president lacks probity. We, the voters, deserve the truth. I
wow.
added that to the sentence.
That's really nice.
Yeah. So I'm
Do
using-
all the voters deserve the truth?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that you know, that's the thing. Just tell us the truth.
Okay.
And then we'll do with it, right? Then you can make a decision. We deserve the truth. That's
the
least we can ask from our leadership. But
Probity.
We as voters, by the way, have also, because I think one of the things that makes the elected officials try to manipulate us is that when we hear the truth sometimes, we so dislike it that we blame the messenger.
Yes,
and so
and
I
question
think,
the truth. Yes.
Yeah. So I think we have to give that idea up. But yeah, probity, moral excellence.
All right. Now, how's it coming with that song to help you remember all the vocabulary words that you forget?
Yeah.
Now, if you remember, we asked our listeners, Tony Anita Hall, have any of our listeners submitted songs yet? I think that episode just dropped.
Okay. So for me, I don't know about you listeners, but for me, from week to week, I forget the last week's
vocabulary
word.
You've hung on to a few very colorful ones.
Stickle. Stickle, which is like arguing over something unimportant.
Calumny, because Mrs. Culpepper
says
calumny.
She says calumny, but I honestly have forgotten what it means.
So your hand puppet says it, but you, Paula Poundstone, don't know what it means.
That's right. That is correct, Adam Velma.
Welcome, Mrs. Culpepper.
I cannot remember the meaning of calumny, but I'm certain one has happened.
Well, you have.
I'm certain a calumny has occurred. I know solecism.
Solecism,
which is a social faux pas.
That's right, Mrs. Culpepper. Everybody, this is Mrs. Culpepper, our strangely denuded Southern gentry puppet.
I'm not denuded, Adam Philbert. I'm wearing right now a beautiful red sateen dress.
Well, I'm sure your husband, Captain Culpepper, loves that dress.
He loves... He did.
He doesn't like it anymore.
He would.
He has soured on your dress.
Not at all. Were he here, he would love my red sateen dress.
Is he on assignment? Is he stationed overseas?
No, Mr. Felber. The sad truth is Captain Culpepper is deceased.
No!
I'm sorry to say he died of... Triotoxism.
Triotoxism.
That is correct.
That
you may have read
about
in the obituary. He passed away from triotoxism, which is a poisoning from a dairy product.
Or cheese.
A cheese or other dairy product, but cheese specifically.
In the case of Captain Culpepper, it was cheese, you're saying?
Yeah, it was cheese.
Well, without wanting to drag you back into this painful memory, Mrs. Culpepper.
It is
Culpepper.
A rather painful memory, so that's right.
We can just leave it at that and let the listeners think that it was some anonymous cheese we'll never know.
It was not an anonymous cheese. It was a particular cheese, a villainous cheese. It was the Gouda that got him.
Thank you, Mrs. Culpepper. So how's that song coming, Paula?
I haven't really picked this week's word is probity. It's a noun meaning integrity. Last week's word was nugatory. It's an adjective that means ineffective.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see why we're reaching out to our listeners on this one.
Week's word is probity.
No, I heard it the first time. It hasn't led
house
to
house band, house band. This week's word is probity. It's a noun meaning integrity. Last week's word was nugatory. It's an adjective that means ineffective.
All right. Thank you, Eric.
I'm sorry that the listeners can't see the dance that goes with it.
So if you're a listener who's maybe been working on a second or third theme song for a theme song contest, maybe put that pen down, pick up the pen that writes a better song than that to remind us of some of our vocabulary words. You can send that right ahead to nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com.
Better song?
I'm just saying it's possible.
What
notionally possible. All right, coming up, Philip K. Dick wrote, "If you think this universe is bad, you should see some of the others." We'll explore alternative universes and the rules of science fiction with Star Trek writer Andre Bormanis when we return on Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. Oh, Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is brought to you in part by HelloFresh. With HelloFresh, America's number one meal kit, get easy seasonal recipes and pre-measured ingredients delivered right to your door. All you have to do is cook and enjoy.
From step-by-step recipes to pre-measured ingredients, and that is so important for me, you'll have everything you need to get a wow-worthy dinner on the table in just about 30 minutes. There's something for everyone, from family recipes. I don't know what wouldn't be a family recipe. I mean, would there be a recipe that you made and some family member came in? No, daughter, don't touch it. Well, I think they're all family recipes.
Okay.
Family recipes to calorie smart and vegetarian and fun menu series like Hall of Fame and Kraft Burgers.
Now, because I do have a family living in my home, I happen to know what the family designation of HelloFresh is. And it's you get if you choose the family plan, as it were, you get twice the number of ingredients that you get on the regular plan.
Well, that's it assuming
essentially
the
doubles
size
the recipe.
Of a family. It wouldn't feed the Waltons.
No. It would not feed the Waltons.
Yeah.
So
I mean,
if you are out
the
there.
The younger listeners won't understand this, but Jim Bob, Elizabeth, Aaron, and perhaps Mary Ellen wouldn't get anything at all.
Because they were a big family.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes. Yes, yeah. That's true, Paula Poundstone.
Me and my daughters made one of the vegetarian meals just the other night. I forget what it was called, but it had mushrooms and a creamy sauce.
A creamy sauce.
It was delicious.
Well, we got a box this week, and we had a chicken dish that was a really simple Parmesan crusted chicken. It was really, really delicious. And we had a
You put the Parmesan on the chicken, They found a chicken at a chickenery.
I think they actually dropped a big wheel of Parmesan on a chicken. Poor thing died, and you had to make lemons out of lemonade.
Well, I can understand that.
Yes, I wonder if that's technically triotoxism.
It was some form of triotoxism that the chicken died of, and as opposed to letting the chicken die in vain, made the chicken Parmesan. Is that what it was? Chicken?
No, it was Parmesan crusted chicken.
Parmesan crusted chicken.
Yeah, I'm almost certain that being conked on the head with a wheel of cheese does not count as triotoxism, Mrs. Culpepper.
Yeah, I can't speak to that.
Because the captain, it didn't happen for him that way.
Oh, no.
He ate it.
The captain ingested the Gouda.
Yeah, that's the traditional means of acquiring triotoxism. Yes. Yes, it is. Anyway, you can add meals to your weekly orders as well as yummy add-ons like garlic bread and cookie dough. That's new.
Cookie dough?
You could add
on cookie dough to your chicken parmesan?
No. You could say on any given week, you'd say, you know what? I'd like some cookies. Hey, HelloFresh. Would you send some
cookie
dough?
So you have open communication with HelloFresh throughout
your relationship. Yes, they have a website, which is all the rage nowadays.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, we have a website.
Oh, we should. Anyway, for a limited time only, get 9 free meals with HelloFresh.
Wow, that's a great deal.
It's an upgrade on our last deal with HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone9 and enter Poundstone9 as your code. That's 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh/Poundstone9 and entering Poundstone9.
Entering Poundstone9. Yeah, yeah, you know what? If you were thinking of doing HelloFresh anyways, do it with our code, because that way there, it helps keep us on the air as well.
Yeah.
So you can have the fun meal, because it is fun.
It's fun to make, and as we said, it's pre-measured, so it's really easy, and it comes out great every time.
Any idiot can do it if it's pre-measured.
Yeah. In fact, the hardest part will be going to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone9 and entering the code Poundstone9, because let's face it, it's a rough last name to spell.
Oh, Poundstone?
Yeah.
Well, it's Pound and then Stone.
Oh. Yeah, you're right, Ms. Culpepper. Easier than I thought. Hey, Paula, it's been almost a year now since I got my Helix mattress. And as you remember, there was some drama surrounding Helix mattresses.
Because
First sponsored us, Bonnie took the mattress and she's been loving it. But finally, I got my chance to get a Helix mattress and I sleep so well. I mean, the family bed is where we all gather. We watch movies in our room occasionally and everybody just piles on it and it's comfy. And yet when one person hops on, the other half of the mattress doesn't fly up. I'm a fan.
Well, you know, Adam, everybody is unique and everyone sleeps differently. That's why Helix has several different mattress models to choose from, each designed for specific sleep positions and feel preferences. Models with memory foam layers to provide optimal pressure relief if you sleep on your side. Models with a more responsive foam to cradle your body for essential support in stomach and back sleeping positions. Plus, enhanced cooling features to keep you from overheating at night. And if your spine needs some extra TLC, they got you. Every Helix mattress has a hybrid design combining individually wrapped steel coils in the base with premium foam layers on top. It is the perfect combination of comfort and support.
I agree with that last bit. I don't get all the technical stuff about the mattress, but it is soft and supportive. Helix offers 20 unique mattresses, the award-winning Lux, which I got, and ultra-premium Elite Collections, the Helix Plus, a mattress designed for big and tall sleepers, and the Helix Kids mattress, designed for growing bodies and endorsed by child sleep experts, and my daughter now wants one. So, how will you know which Helix mattress works best for you and your body? You go to their website, take the Helix sleep quiz, and you find your perfect mattress match in under 2 minutes.
You know, when you said you can't follow all the technical stuff, it's really not that technical. You know, no matter what way you sleep, they have a mattress that will support and comfort you. How hard is that?
You know, when you say it that way, it seems a lot simpler. I take it back. That's my boner.
And your personalized mattress is shipped straight to your door, free of charge. And Helix knows there's no better way to test out a new mattress than by sleeping on it in your own home. That's why they offer a 100-night trial and a 10 to 15-year warranty to try out your new Helix mattress.
Well, I like that there's a warranty, but they can pry that mattress from my cold, dead hands. I took the sleep quiz. I was matched with the Helix Midnight Lux. I got the Lux. And I love it. It is such an upgrade from my old mattress.
You know, I think Bonnie got the Midnight Lux.
She did.
Too.
Yeah.
You're not here. Don't want to take Adam's word for it? Well, you got Bonnie's word. Helix has been awarded the #1 mattress picked by GQ and Wired magazine. It's even recommended by multiple leading chiropractors and doctors of sleep medicine as a go-to solution for improving your sleep. Your sleepy time pal Helix is offering up to 30% off all mattress orders and 2 free pillows for our listeners.
That's a lot, and it's already not that expensive a mattress. Go to helixsleep.com/Paula.
That's helixsleep.com/Paula.
This is their best offer yet. It's fantastic. It won't last long.
With Helix, better sleep starts now. Well, not right now.
And if you're going to get it anyway,
use our code. Adam, you know I have a house full of cats and a couple of big dogs. So I have this one cat who every night likes to stand in the hallway and yowl. and he has kind of a little bit like me because of allergies. I don't know why he has it, but his name is Theo, and he has a really gravelly voice. So it's hard to describe it. I can't do a good impression, but it's a little dusty, gravelly voice. Okay, so earlier I was laying on the living room floor because I'm exhausted, and I'm wearing a nylon fiberfill vest. As I'm laying on the floor, Theo shoves his head through one sleeve of the vest and crawls up and is now stuck inside in between my back and the vest and is yowling because he can't get out. And then finally his head comes out the other sleeve and he goes out. What's not to love? That's what I say. What is not to love?
Which brings me to this. Today's episode is sponsored by the ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program.
Your pet is part of your family, you know that already, and you want the best for them no matter what. But vet bills can really add up. Go ahead, ask me. That's why you should check out pet insurance. And with ASPCA Pet Health Insurance, you can focus on the care your pet deserves and cover what matters most.
The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program offers customizable accident and illness plans, making it easier for pet parents like you to help your pet get the care they may need. The ASPCA Pet Health Insurance Program has been around for over 18 years, and they've helped more than 600,000 pets during that time. That's a lot of pets.
True.
They allow you to customize your plan, helping ensure that your pet's plan is as unique as they are.
Because vet bills can really add up, especially when you're least expecting it. It's simple. Use their app to submit a claim, and you'll receive reimbursement for eligible vet bills directly into your bank account.
To explore coverage, visit aspcapetinsurance.com/Paula. That's ASPCA. We spell that ASPCA. Petinsurance.com/Paula. This is a paid advertisement. Insurance is underwritten by either Independence American Insurance Company or United States Fire Insurance Company and produced by PTZ Insurance Agency Limited. The ASPCA is not an insurer and is not engaged in the business of insurance. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code.
Hey, Paula. You know, every once in a while, we get a new advertiser that I get super excited about. And I have to say, just because of the circumstances of my life, right now, I'm really excited about our new advertiser, Quince, of Quince.com, the clothing provider.
Not to be mistaken for Quince from Midsummer Night's Dream. And let me just say this, and maybe it's not important to an advertisement, but when I was in the fourth grade, our class put on a production of A Midsummer Night's Dream.
Okay.
And I played Peter Quince. There's the connection.
One of the mechanicals. That's a great connection. Also, yes, has nothing to do with this, which is that Quince is an online clothing store. And as you know, Paula, I've lost a little weight lately.
Oh, right.
75 pounds. Yeah. So I literally have no clothes that are in my size until I just ordered some stuff at Quince. And I figured, like, here's a chance for me to create a new look for myself. A whole new image.
And how's it going?
Not bad. I mean, the clothes are fantastic. I know that you ordered some too. What I got is the Comfort Stretch Traveler 5-pocket pants. And I got I got the 100% European linen shirt, and it looks breezy and it fits beautifully. And these are like premium pieces of clothing that are selling for like, you know, $30 a piece or starting at $30 at quince.com. It's awesome. I look good.
I ordered the brushed lounge jogger.
Ooh.
And, you know, I put them on when I came back from New York. I pulled them on and I swear to you, okay, this is not scientific because I was tired already.
Right.
But they were so soft and so comfortable that honestly, like right as I got them up to my waist, I think my eyes closed. They're so, it's a softness. It's a kind of softness that I don't think I've ever experienced in a garment, honestly.
You know, my drawstring European linen trousers are a little bit like that, too. Like, so comfortable that I just want to hang out with myself.
Sure. Yeah. And they're European. Keep that in mind.
European. They are so European. And you can get those kinds. You can get washable silk tops. You can get 14-karat gold jewelry and, like, all these accessories.
Quince sells a lineup of timeless pieces that keep their customers looking effortlessly chic year after year. I'm not certain that I look chic, but certainly if I did, it's not going to take a lot of effort.
I now look chic and I feel pretty great. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabric. It's all good as far as I can see.
Is it my imagination or do they cut out the middleman?
They cut out the middleman, Paula Poundstone.
I love it when they cut out the middleman. That's the thing, they cut out the middleman. That's fantastic.
So be like me and Paula. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/nobody for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/nobody to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/nobody. And honestly, I look fantastic. Paula, you won't be able to keep your hands off me.
Oh, I can't wait. And don't think that if you had to return something, don't think you're sending it to a middleman because they cut out the middleman.
They cut out the middleman. That's quince.com/nobody. And if you're going to do it anyway,
use our code. The spread of misinformation has fueled our cultural divide and increased our collective anxiety about the future. Tackling misinformation isn't a simple task, but it's important. And that's why I'm so excited to tell you about Conspirituality, a podcast that's dismantling New Age cults, wellness grifters, and conspiracy mad yogis.
On the show, a journalist, a cult researcher, and a philosophical skeptic walk into a bar, and the bartender says, no, it's not that old joke. They dive deep into current events, such as RFK Jr.'s involvement in mainstreaming dangerous anti-vax rhetoric. They crowdsource, research, analyze, and dream up answers to the problem with, get this, proven science as their ultimate guiding light.
I highly recommend you check out Conspirituality's fascinating episodes on creating comedy in the MAGAverse with Jordan Klepper or RFK Jr. flirting with body fascism.
And you've listened to a bunch of them at this point, Paula, I know, and you tell me you love it.
I do. They're fascinating, and my favorite part is they use, wait for it, proven science.
And
if there's any kids listening, that's a class we used to take. Proven yep. science as their ultimate guiding light. I love that.
From exploring cults to analyzing our cultural and political landscape, the Conspirituality podcast will help you stay informed about misinformation and help you resist fear tactics. Find Conspirituality on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Space drums! How very appropriate to this moment, Paula, because you had a kind of a sci-fi experience.
I went to the doctor the other day to the urgent care, and when the nurse took my temperature, it was like a thing from Star Trek. It was like they touched my forehead with a gizmo.
Yeah.
And then they were like,
they knew your temperature.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That is amazing.
And it's absolutely Bones. It's straight out of the original Star Trek.
I have a device at my home.
There have been many Star Treks, but it was from the first one.
The first Star Trek. I have a device at my home where you don't even have to touch the person's head.
Well, that's just silly.
It's like a little wand. It's made by a company that has advertised with us, Withings.
Huh. You know what, though? That makes me uncomfortable because then you can be taking people's temperatures without them knowing.
That's the point. That's if you have kids breach. And they're sleeping and they're maybe
fevers. No, that's a breach of privacy. Like, I don't want just a stranger walking down the street taking my temperature.
Because?
It's my own private information.
All right. Still don't think it's that possible to do that. But, I guess with thermal imaging, maybe you could.
Yeah. Thermal imaging.
We have somebody who could talk about all of that.
Thank goodness.
Yeah. The question is, are we living in a science fiction world? Our next guest here has lived in the worlds of science and fiction for decades. Andre Bormanis is a writer and co-executive producer of The Orville, and for over a dozen years, he worked as a writer and science consultant for the Star Trek franchise. He's been awarded a NASA Space Grant Fellowship, has a master's degree in science, technology, and public policy from George Washington University. So, ladies and gentlemen, welcome Andre Bormanis.
Thank you so much.
Welcome aboard.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
It's great. You're actually the science officer on a sci-fi show.
I guess that would be correct.
The science officer.
Yeah.
I didn't even realize there was such a category.
There is such a thing.
Science officer.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, tell us how you got the job in the first place. Go back all the way to you're on The Next Generation, right?
I was on the final season of Star Trek The Next Generation as their science consultant. The guy who had been doing the job, Naren Shankar, who was also a physicist, he got promoted to the writing staff, and they were looking.
Wait a minute, Shankar. That's the guy who played the.
That's Ravi Shankar.
That's Ravi.
Oh,
I think they might be distantly related.
I thought the guy
related.
That played with the Beatles.
No, I mean, yes,
the Norwegian Wood guy, wasn't it?
Different. I don't.
Yeah.
Did he play on Norwegian Wood?
I think so. The sitar.
Yeah, the sitar. Yeah. I was never a big fan of the sitar, but, you know, I don't want that to take away from the guy that you worked with.
No.
I thought George played on Norwegian Wood.
I can't swear to that.
Okay.
All right, I interrupted.
Anyway,
I apologize.
That's all right, no. You know, I was interested in trying to write for Star Trek. I'd written a spec script. I was hoping to try to get a meeting to go pitch some stories when I found out that, hey, they're looking for a new science consultant, and they want somebody who has both a real science background.
Which you did.
Which I did.
The master's.
Well, that and, I studied physics and astronomy as an undergraduate and did some grad work in astrophysics and some computer science stuff. I was casting around for a while there to try to figure out what I really wanted to do.
Right.
I knew I liked being at sort of that intersection of art and science. I was always a great reader growing up. I read a lot of science fiction. I loved the original Star Trek. I loved Carl Sagan. And so one thing kind of led to another, and I found myself being given the opportunity to be the science consultant on that final season of Star Trek The Next Generation.
A lot of stuff with the Borg in that season.
A lot of stuff with the Borg. Pretty scary.
I'm sort of surprised that they have a science consultant, let alone a science officer.
Yes.
Because, I was married to an officer. Because
yes, Mrs. Culpepper was married to an officer.
It's science fiction.
Yes.
So why, given that it's science fiction, does anybody care?
This goes way back to the original series that Gene Roddenberry created in 1964. Gene was a TV writer who had a very colorful history. He was a bomber pilot in World War II. He was an L.A. motorcycle cop. He started writing cop show scripts. He managed to sell a couple of scripts, and he got to be a writer. And he, was very excited by the space program, what was happening in the 60s with Mercury and Gemini and Apollo and the moon race. And he thought, there's a place on television for adult science fiction, some place where I can tell really interesting adult stories that I probably can't get away with on, a traditional Western or some police procedural.
Sure, but how did he feel about the accuracy of the science?
He said that, I want this show to be watched by adults. And the only way that they're going to buy for that hour that they're sitting in front of the TV, that they're on a starship traveling hundreds of light years from the Earth, if it's a believable ship. It has to be believable. So he met with engineers from JPL and the RAND Corporation, all these scientists. He had them over to the house. And he basically picked their brains and said, how could we build a ship someday that could travel not just from here to the moon, but to another star system? And we got to do it every week. Oh, well, you're not going to be able to do chemical rockets. You're going to have to do this, that, and the other. And he really thought it through.
Wow.
So that, Paula? The audience would believe that, hey, this could be real someday.
Okay, but right off the bat, you can't walk around in a spaceship because there's no gravity, right?
So you invent artificial gravity.
You got to have artificial gravity.
But is that a thing?
It's a thing in the sense that if you can warp space with a warp drive, you can manipulate gravity, so you can create artificial gravity.
Yeah, that's kind of an if there.
Yeah. It's a big if, but it's theoretically possible.
Okay.
Yeah.
And do doors go shoop?
Now, to me, that doesn't seem implausible at all.
Shoop.
In the vacuum of space, you would not hear that. But on the ship, they have an atmosphere, so you can hear the shoop.
Yeah, I think we have the technology to build one of those right now.
Yeah, shoop. Yeah, that. Do you think a science consultant helped them with that?
I think they probably did.
Yeah, originally they were going to have it go, and they go, no.
Well, it's funny. They didn't have the technology to build sliding doors that opened that quickly. So there were two guys with ropes standing on the set who pulled the doors apart when Kirk or Spock or whatever would have to walk through.
Now, was that true when you were doing Next Generation? Or had they perfected door sliding technology?
No, we did open them manually on Next Generation.
Wow.
How about nowadays on the Orville?
On the Orville? Yeah, we open them manually.
Wow.
I don't know if I should be admitting this because it's the 21st century. You'd think things have advanced.
Yeah,
we still don't have a
shoot
door.
How many times has it happened that they didn't do it in time and they smacked into the door?
More than a few.
Yeah,
more than
I'll
a
bet
few.
You.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah. Captain Kirk was always leaving in a huff.
A lot of blooper
reel
stuff. Yeah.
How many times was William Shatner knocked senseless because the door guy didn't open
it? It didn't open
up. Oh, fuck. Yeah. Yeah. Every now and then, if you look carefully at some of the old episodes, you can see a hole where Kirk's nose is. And it's right in the panel of that door. I wonder how many guys got fired for that.
Yeah, that would be a quick way to lose a job, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Now, do they write the episode and then you make your suggestions, or do they talk to you first?
It's a little of both. Sometimes they were pretty confident about the story that they were developing, and they said, oh, you know, we'll have Andre figure out, you know, the terminology, what we love
the nuts
called,
and bolts,
the technobabble after we write the first draft of the script. Other times writers would call me and say, hey, you know, I'm working on this script for Deep Space Nine, and a comet plays a really major role in this story. And it's
so
like,
what's a comet?
Yeah, what's a comet? How big are they? What are they made of? How fast do they move? When do they form the big tail? And so then we'd spend an hour or so talking on the phone about comets.
Now, still do that, but you're also a full-fledged writer on shows nowadays. Like on The Orville, you have your own episodes, presumably, and you're the science consultant.
Yes.
Right. So is there a point at which you just get exasperated by these writers? You're like, look, I'm a writer too. I got a lot of work to do. I'm exhausted. Google it.
I've never said that to Seth.
Oh, Seth MacFarlane, and creator.
Star creator, director,
writer,
head writer.
Of the Orville,
And all things, yes. Things Orville.
Can you give me an example of something that you suggested or corrected?
Yeah, what was the last thing you scienced up?
Well, gosh, I definitely help out on that end on the Orville and all of the shows that I've done that had a science component.
Yeah.
I help out. It's kind of like, you know.
But something specific that you did recently.
Yeah. What did I do recently? Ugh. Can't divulge anything about the new season.
Okay, let's go back a bit.
Okay,
previous season.
If
or even
we go back,
okay,
we did an episode in season.
Wait a minute, we're going back. You know what that means? Doodle 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 doodle.
Scientifically, it's proven that that's the music that accompanies actual time travel.
That is the sound that happens when you travel in time.
Well, in the first season, we had an episode Charlize Theron guest starred, and we had to come up with a scenario that she was in some desperate trouble. And
I thought you
had to
come up with a scenario where she was an Orville fan.
She loves the Orville.
I'm sure she does.
But at any rate,
doesn't she have really big teeth?
She has pretty big teeth.
Yeah,
beautiful smile.
Is that part of?
I heard that's why she constantly has to gnaw stuff because they keep growing.
When you said we had to come up with something, I thought that's what we had to come up with something that an episode that revolved around her large teeth.
No, we haven't let you get anywhere near
well,
this story yet.
Well,
go ahead. I'm sorry. I just keep interrupting.
I apologize as well.
We were trying to figure out what's a good Jeopardy situation that has kind of a ticking clock, and we've got to rescue her. And we'd find out in the episode that it's all a setup, that she was, deceiving us in this whole thing. But I thought, oh, hey, sun diving comets. Yes.
That's plunging into the sun?
No, I didn't. I didn't think of it. I'm aware of the fact that this happens, and it happens a lot. And NASA has this solar heliospheric observatory high in orbit watching
you
the sun.
You don't have
all the
to
time.
Tell me that.
Yeah, well.
But there are some diving comets.
Weeks, every few
NASA
weeks.
NASA has a solar
heliophysics.
Observing.
Yeah.
Solar helio?
SOHO.
SOHO.
SOHO helio.
Solar heliophysics. Heliophysics.
He doesn't even know what it is.
I can't say it either.
Right.
It's something like that.
But NASA has one anyway.
But every few weeks, they catch a comet crashing into the sun.
Well, the sun has a lot of gravity.
Pretty regularly. The sun is the most powerful source of gravity in our solar system.
Oh, I didn't know that.
There are millions and millions of comets out there. They go crashing in there pretty regularly. So I said, hey, let's put her on her spaceship. She's stuck on a comet, and that comet is about to dive into a star.
Okay, great. Wow.
And so you got to fight the gravity. You got to rescue her before she burns up. And, and so that was a nice little.
But it was a trick. Turns out it was a trick.
Spoilers, But we did all of the science right. You know, the size of the comet, the distance, the rate of acceleration, and all that stuff.
Could a big enough comet put out the sun?
Put out the sun?
Yeah.
No.
It's made of ice, right? I mean, or the tail is made of ice.
Comets are made of rocks and ice, yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But they tend to be tiny.
Really big comet.
Comets tend to be a few miles in diameter.
I'm pitching you a story for the Orville.
I feel so bad for your mother right now, Adam. The whole time you're growing up, I can't go to sleep. What's wrong, honey? Could a big enough comet put out the sun?
I want to tell you, I was doing that constantly as a kid. In fact, when I found out about the soft spot on a baby's head before their skull comes together.
You kept wanting to poke it?
I asked if a baby had ever killed itself by poking it.
Wow.
I remember that.
Am I not surprised? Yeah. He also insisted on being dyed blue because he liked the Smurfs.
That's not true at all.
That is absolutely true.
If
I'm a Smurf, do I have less chance of being hit by a comet? That was one of the things
really
he
not
used
one
to
of
say
things.
To his mother.
Let's move on. You wanted to talk about time travel, Paula.
Time travel.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very confusing,
yes.
Time travel. Is there science involved in time travel?
There is some science involved in time travel. There is...
So you tell them stuff like it's talk tick, talk tick, talk tick.
Talk tick?
Yeah.
Oh, when you're going backwards.
I like that. Yes, you're going backwards.
Yeah. That was traveling backwards in time.
I get it.
Yeah. Wow.
I don't know why that wouldn't be Kit Kat, but okay.
Oh, Kit Kat. Because I didn't think of it.
Okay.
I think Kit Kat would be right.
There are some physicists who think that travel into the past might be possible depending on the kind of universe we live in.
In a multiple worlds model?
No, it's not a multiple worlds model. It depends on whether the universe as a whole is rotating and creating something called closed time-like curves. It would be a really hard thing to do, but there's another method that would involve technology that we don't have yet, but some other alien civilization might have. You've heard of wormholes, shortcuts
sure.
through space.
I don't
space.
Know what wormholes are.
A wormhole
I
is basically...
I had a big fucking palmetto bug in my house last night.
I heard.
Unrelated.
Yeah. Oh, it's not the same.
No,
okay.
Not the same.
What are wormholes?
Well, basically, it's an extremely curved region of space-time that creates a shortcut between two widely separated regions in space.
Is that a real thing?
It's a real thing.
Wow.
And we don't know of any...
Is it like in Clue when you're in the library and it's diagonally across from the other place and then you could just go there?
It is exactly right, though.
Wow.
Like that. And the reason that we
Clue
think
does
that,
have this weird wormhole situation going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it does.
Well, we live in a four-dimensional universe, four spatial dimensions.
With
the fourth being at a right angle to the other three.
Okay.
Which is an impossible thing to visualize. But
I'm not visualizing it.
Yeah.
I'll be honest with you. That's not what I'm visualizing
but
right
we know,
now.
But we know the universe is expanding. And
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's true.
You didn't?
Who says that?
Einstein.
Everybody.
And Hubble. Edwin Hubble proved it.
Edwin Hubble?
It's the Big Bang Theory.
Right up here at Mount Wilson. Yeah.
I didn't know any of this.
In the 1930s.
This is all news to me.
Yeah. You heard about the Big Bang Theory, didn't you?
Yeah.
I'd know the television show, but no.
Okay.
Can you do anything with the Waltons? I loved that show.
I kissed
one of the
Walton
girls. I
think
we're going
to
have to rack this back to Paula.
You kissed one of the Walton girls?
I think it was
girls?
Aaron, yeah. At a party.
What do you mean you think it was Aaron?
I can't.
Do you remember saying to her, I think you're Aaron?
No, I think... It was like 25
that
years ago.
So romantic
it
when you're making out with somebody
ago.
And you go, I think you're Aaron.
You're definitely one of the Waltons.
I think you're Aaron. I hope you're not Jim Bob. That
I'm going to call you Aaron anyway, okay?
Boy, you really...
All right, so let's
you didn't even have to tell her about your background in writing and science fiction.
Let's skip past your sexual conquest with the Walton family.
Yeah.
And move back to time travel.
Yes. Okay, so
that's
wormholes.
The only time that's ever been said.
Yeah. So if you have a wormhole.
I do.
Let's say you got a wormhole.
How much do you want for it?
$50.
Okay.
No.
So you get a wormhole.
You get a wormhole, right? It's a shortcut between two widely...
Of course.
Separated points in space.
From the conservatory to the drawing room.
If you make one of these things artificially, and you take one end of it, and you take that one end and you accelerate it to the near the speed of light.
Yeah.
So you're stretching it out.
You stretch it out.
Okay.
Say you stretched it out 1,000 light years.
Why not?
And then you turned around and you brought it back that 1,000 light years, also traveling near the speed of light. Well, that part of the wormhole, that end that you took on that long journey.
Yeah.
It would exist permanently 2,000 years in the past of the other end. So by traveling through the stationary end into the other one, you would travel 2,000 years into the past.
Do you know why I'm nodding my head right now? Because I am a total fucking phony.
why do you say that?
Because I have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
but I'm nodding my head like,
there is a lot of,
but here's
uh-huh.
some stuff that's going to happen.
Yeah.
Is that...
why would you do any of that?
First, why would you do any of that?
Yes.
Second, so you've got two doors now in front of you. One comes out 2,000 years ahead of the and behind. Yeah.
And would you pull the ropes to open these doors?
Well, you have to keep them propped open with something called negative matter.
There is something called negative matter,
What happens if you go back in time 2,000 years like you do in every
My assistant creates it.
And kill the guy who invented that drive?
Well, you can't do that because You can never go back farther into the past than the point at which you created that wormhole.
Oh.
Yeah, so they're, but suppose some alien
civilization. In some sort of rule.
It's a rule.
Yeah.
But suppose some alien civilization made all of these wormholes throughout our galaxy.
Oh, long time ago. You think they
millions
haven't?
Millions of years ago. Well, yeah. Maybe.
So is it possible that none of this shit matters that we're doing now?
Well, could
you
be
more
specific?
Is it possible? Because one of my least favorite things about doing the podcast is, you know, I bring all the snacks. I have to bring my dog. I have to bring a bag full of dog
toys. This feels
toys.
Like a detour right here.
It's not. I have to bring like a notebook. I have to bring the, what else? A soda bag. My least favorite thing is when I get back at the end of the night, after all the fun is over, I have to load all that shit back in the house. I still have to sift litter boxes. I still have to feed the dogs and feed the cats. My point is, could I not do that tonight and it wouldn't matter?
Wouldn't matter to who?
I mean, because maybe this whole thing isn't even real. This whole, maybe we're in a wormhole.
We're not in a wormhole.
Oh.
Well, you know, but we might be in a black hole. The universe itself might be a black hole.
Might exist inside a black hole?
Because basically there is a horizon beyond which we cannot see in the universe.
Okay.
Regions of space that have expanded beyond our perspective, and the speed of light is finite. So
now you're moving into like a Cat Stevens song.
Well, so anyway, that light will never get to us.
Okay.
Because the universe has expanded so far out that light will simply never reach us. And it's kind of like the event horizon boundary of a black hole. And some people think that there might be new universes created all the time in our universe that would be perceived by us
as black holes. Interesting.
But we may ourselves live in a
giant
black hole.
Let's get back to meat and potatoes time travel story. Those are hard to write, aren't they?
Because, they are.
Because just from my amateur knowledge of this thing, but I am a sci-fi fan, it seems like writing a time travel story is less about getting the science right than it is about hiding how it doesn't work.
There is always a paradox. There is always something in those stories that really kind of doesn't work. You know, there's the whole notion that if you could travel back 100 years in time and for some strange reason you decide you're going to kill your grandfather, then how were you ever born to travel back 100 years in time?
Well, precisely.
Yeah. Causality paradoxes. And that's the big problem that people have with time travel stories. But one possibility, and this is, you raised earlier, Adam, the idea of the multiverse, multiple universes, that maybe when you travel back in time, you're actually going to a different universe, very, very similar to yours,
but
slightly different.
There's an indie sci-fi film called Primer that's fantastic that does that.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, but here's a question along these lines having to do with time travel, which is, why does Back to the Future get worse with every sequel?
That's a question that is beyond my capabilities as a physicist
a tough
to answer.
One. Yeah. It has something to do with a black hole and a worm.
It probably does, yeah.
Yeah, that's very confusing.
Yeah.
Now, are there sci-fi movies or TV shows that you've seen that rattle you because they're like, they got the science so wrong, I'm angry. I have to stop watching.
Well, you know, not necessarily. I tend to kind of turn off that part of my brain if I'm watching a movie like Armageddon. But, you know, that movie was ridiculous on a number of levels.
Yeah, I think you've turned off your brain when you begin to watch a movie like Armageddon, haven't you? You already made a pact.
It's ridiculous, you know. And so I just kind of like, well, maybe this has some amusing scenes. Maybe it's kind of funny. Who knows?
Yeah.
But it's like, no, that stuff, it bothers me because there are good movies to be made on that kind of a subject, you know, deflecting a comet that, you know, could pose a threat to the Earth.
Sure.
Yeah.
That's
not it.
Huh.
Deep Impact was much closer. They came out around the same time, didn't they?
Adam forced me to watch Pacific Rim.
I didn't force you. It was for the podcast.
It was painful. Yeah. It was absolutely painful.
I have not seen that.
Oh, Jesus, don't see it.
I've not seen Geostorm and other things.
Geostorm is legitimately terrible.
Yeah.
Okay, what do all these funny people have in common? Cecily Strong, Jason Mantzoukas, Duncan Trussell, Paul Scheer, Scott Aukerman, Beth Stelling, Tom Papa, Lauren Lapkus, Louis Anderson, Lisa Gilroy, Paul F. Tompkins, and Sir Patrick Stewart. They've all played characters on the hit comedy podcast Mega, an improvised satire from the staff of a fictional megachurch. The next time you're in the mood for some laughs, great guests, out-of-this-world improv and cultural commentary, we're here for you, baby. Listen to Mega anywhere you listen to podcasts.
All right, explain to me this. In the movie The Martian,
yes,
right? they had a science consultant on The Martian. Mm-hmm. And so Matt Damon, you know, goes through all this stuff and they decide they're going to try to hook up with, you know.
He makes the poop potatoes.
Yeah. He makes the poop potatoes. He looks at himself in the mirror at one point. He's been there for like a year by himself or something. He looks at himself. His teeth are all yellow. His face is gaunt. And now he goes to connect with the commander, and he's got shiny white teeth. What was that? Was it a wormhole?
This doesn't feel like a science question.
That's a science question. How the hell did that happen?
Science hygiene. I'm not sure. They did. I never saw the toothbrush. I never saw whatever toothbrush he must have used.
Yeah, right. He didn't have a toothbrush. Yeah. And then next thing you know, you know, pearly whites, full face, good-looking guy, all cleaned up, spiffy-doo.
Well, you know, that movie was, I thought, generally very good on the technical side. My one objection to that is I thought that the spaceship that goes between Earth and Mars, not the one that he landed in, but that sort of transport ship.
The one with the conference table and all that.
Much too big. You would never build a ship that wastes that much interior volume. It would eat up so much fuel, so much, you know, oxygen. And so that I found ridiculous.
So you were okay with the method in which Matt Damon kind of like used a fire extinguisher to get himself back on the ship as it circled Mars, but the size of the conference room put you off?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's a valid complaint.
And yet you work on shows where they have tons of room on these.
Absolutely, but we also have, you know,
a lot of resources.
Faster than light travel.
That's
right. We have, endless
power
supplies.
So you're not using the same kind of fuel.
No, exactly.
They got the dilithium crystals, you know.
On Star Trek, yes, we use those.
What do you use on a
Dysonium?
On
Dysonium, which is a term I came up with, actually.
Dysonium?
I can't
named
remember.
In honor of Freeman Dyson, a physicist who's still alive. So, who is
he the
brilliant
guy who made the vacuum cleaner?
That's
I
not
love
him, no.
The vacuum cleaner.
Well, it's not even it's related.
I use a Dyson.
Yeah, that's
different. They suck. Okay, the Lost in Space.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of Lost in Space.
I love the original. I make Misha watch it.
The television
with me
show Lost in Space.
Yeah, yeah.
It was the first thing we watched on our new big screen television because it was so appropriate. And it's a great show. I was going to ask you a question about Lost in Space about how
did it really happen?
What did they use? Deutronium.
Deutronium fuel, yes.
Yeah.
Deutronium.
Oh, my God. Do you remember the episode where Dr. Smith was somehow giving the deutronium to these plants that kept growing?
Yes.
And
what
they would do is they would replace things.
Mm-hmm.
So he had duplicates of lots of things. And so he thought he was going to get back to Earth and be really rich because he could make all these things. And then Judy, the oldest daughter, went into the plant and got reproduced.
Right.
But they didn't know that wasn't Judy.
Right.
So she goes back to the camp and they're having dinner. And Judy's always really nice.
This is in no way going to end up as a science question.
No, this is a science question.
No, it isn't.
And no, this is so great. This is so great. I didn't know. I've seen this episode 100 times and
I've seen this mode of questioning happening 100 times on this podcast.
I didn't notice this until the last time I watched it. It's so brilliant. All right, so it's the it's the duplicate Judy that's been made by this plant that ate the deutronium that goes back to the camp, and June Lockhart is the mother, and they're all, of course, very, very sweet and nice. And she goes, Judy, salad. And she goes, no. And then she goes, are you sure you don't want salad? She goes, I don't want any salad. And then I realize later it's because she's a plant.
Yeah.
Judy's a plant, and so she doesn't want to eat other plants. I love that.
That was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, it was brilliant.
And your question is?
Do you think that's brilliant?
Yes. I really do.
I fucking do.
It's a great tell. You know, it's one of those great plot points.
So
it is
a good piece of writing. It took me years to understand that. I didn't get it at all for years.
And Judy always loved salad.
Exactly.
You know, there's something
that's
wrong.
That's when the mother and the father knew that John and Maureen knew that. That's when they stepped away from the table and talked privately.
Step away from this table.
Something's wrong with Judy.
So, besides your own invention,
it's as if you're not even worried about Judy.
I'm not. Dysonium is obviously your favorite because you got to actually name the warp drive stuff in a show. So, but besides Dysonium, what's your favorite name of a non-existent? Is it unobtainium? I like unobtainium.
What do you mean?
Substance, yes. Like chemical or atomic or whatever. Unobtainium is pretty fun.
If Tritanium. If you were to say Judy right now, I would love you.
Judy?
That's his favorite substance, yeah. Judy.
Judy.
No, she was a substance.
All right, sorry, I interrupted. Go ahead. What's your favorite substance?
You don't care. Well, I came up with something for an episode of Deep Space Nine. We needed some volatile chemical compound that was like a contact explosive sort of thing.
Sure.
And I wanted to make up, I made up a fictional name because I didn't want to use anything in the real world.
Was it Boom Juice? Because that's
Boom Juice.
Really not all that technical.
I wish I thought of that. It was chemosite.
Chemosite.
And I got a call from an actor on the stage who had to say this, Max Grodinchek, who played one of the Ferengi guys. And he called me. He was all worried. He said, "All right, Andre, I got the script and I saw this word. Is it chemosite or is it chemosite?" And I said, "Oh, it's chemosite." And wow. It was just a made-up word. Yeah, he could have said it anyway.
Did you call him in afterwards and say, "You said it wrong, you're fired"?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay.
Chemosite.
But yeah. I wanted him to say chemosite. Chemosite sounded too much like chemical
it
to
does,
me.
It does, yeah. So chemosite.
Say chemosite. Chemosite.
So yeah, that's really good.
In fact, you know, I have some here.
Don't touch it. Explodes on contact. Is that what it does?
Yeah.
Oh, does it?
Very volatile.
Boom juice.
Boom juice.
Goddamn boom juice.
Exactly.
That's really just a street name for it. I got some chemosite here, but my friends call it boom juice.
That's good for
get
you.
Away from it. Get away from it. Don't touch it.
All right. Well, one last sciencey question. How about teleportation?
How about it?
Will it be possible?
Are we going to be able to beam ourselves up?
It seems unlikely.
I would say that is the one technology that we've seen on Star Trek and in other science fiction that I would be willing to bet money will never happen.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. But they also did it in Willy Wonka and The Fly.
Yeah.
Not well.
Right. It's true. It's been done in a lot of different films and TV shows and movies. And I just think that, you know, it's the very idea of being torn apart atom by atom and turned into a plasma and then
have you had
some
kids?
Of the location. I've not, actually. You're basically killing somebody and resurrecting them.
Precisely.
And I think it would be really painful, number one.
And if you could resurrect them, why not just make two at the side?
Yeah.
Or three.
Or make it younger.
Like Judy. Two like Judy. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, and I always wondered, you know, Scotty started to put on a lot of weight in the movies. Why couldn't they just program the transporter to, like, take off 20 pounds when he beamed up?
When they reassembled him?
Yeah.
Well,
if you have the technology, wouldn't you use it for that kind of purpose?
I would use it for weight loss. Are you kidding?
I would.
Absolutely.
I'd use it. I'd have like half of these thighs I have right now.
Really?
Yeah. I'd be.
You'd be beaming yourself all over
I'd
the place.
I'd be a stick figure.
All right. And on that, Andre, thank you so much for beaming us to a new level of sci-fi technology. Paula, based on what you just heard, what advice can you give our listeners about science fiction?
House band Eric Calver, can we have a little percussion to back up what I've learned from Andre Bormanis? Nice. Andre was fantastic. What I've come to understand, however, is that as the universe expands, and it is expanding, it sucks the ability of some people to be able to understand wormholes and black holes and the speed of light. Those same victims can easily understand and are often attracted to the Lost in Space episode when Judy gets duplicated by a plant.
Andre Bormanis is a writer and producer on the Orville and the author of Star Trek Science Logs. Thank you so much for being
Thank
on our
you,
show,
Andre.
It's
great.
It's fantastic.
I love that episode.
When we come back, we listen to you nobodies. You've written us, we'll respond. And we'll find out how Bonnie just fucked up again. That's coming up right after this. The cat of the week is Leonardo da Vinci from Golden Valley, Minnesota. Okay, we're back. Now, Paula, right before the break, I kind of teased that Bonnie Burns, you're...
Wait a minute. Is that bison still in here?
Oh, the bison from last week.
Isn't that... It is. It's right over there. Look at that.
It was blending in.
It was hiding. It was trying, like, don't look at me. Yeah. There's no bison here.
It's amazing how something as big as a bison could make itself so unobtrusive.
Well, it was sort of around the corner here. But the bison is still in. That means this bison has been in the... Oh, my God. Well, that certainly explains the smell.
Yeah.
I feel so embarrassed that Andre was here.
Right.
And we had bison smell.
Yeah.
You'd think a science.
I'm impressed that the bison, you know, maybe it's low self-esteem, but it managed to just be more or less invisible.
Yeah. Well, really, you know.
It's a small studio here.
It's a very small. No, it was around the corner right there. It was over behind Eric. Eric, weren't you noticing that smell, the bison smell? Yeah.
Eric says he noticed the smell.
The bison.
Anthony Alfaro should stop bringing in animals, I think.
Well, and if he does bring one in, he should bring it home afterwards.
Yeah.
Or put it back.
Put it back wherever he's getting his black market animals.
Bison is like a buffalo, and apparently this is the home where he roams.
Yeah, well, bison was often misreferred to as a buffalo, and I think that's
by whom?
By early American settlers. So that's why you've got that song, "Give Me a Home Where the Buffalo Roam." They're talking about where the bison are roaming.
Yeah, give me a home where the
if you want a home where the buffalo roam, you got to go to like Cambodia or something.
No, I don't think they're in Cambodia. There's no Cambodian
buffalo. There's no
buffalo.
Water buffalo in Cambodia?
I don't think so.
I think there are.
I don't think so.
Unless the housing prices have gotten
there
too high.
There was no bison or buffalo in Cambodia. It is French Trump.
Oh, it's French Trump.
Had a meltdown. You had a meltdown.
I did not, Mr.
You
President.
Don't be a fool, Adam Felbert. Don't be a tough guy, Adam Felbert.
For those of you who are just tuning in, and I don't know why you would.
I captured ISIS. Obama.
You didn't capture them at all.
French Trump. I captured ISIS.
Now, for those of you who have been listening,
we call them bungalows.
We seem to have contracted another hand puppet over the last week or two, which is
French Trump.
French Trump.
Adam Felbert.
Which makes less sense than Mrs. Culpepper.
No, you had a meltdown. I did not have a meltdown. I captured ISIS, not Obama.
Not Obama.
Moi captured ISIS, not Obama.
All right. I'll give you credit for it, French Trump, because I just don't know what else to do with you.
Thank you, Adam Felbert. You are my buddy.
No, we're not buddies.
No, Adam Felbert, you are my buddy.
No, I'm not your... And I'm certainly not your buddy. Listen, French Trump, I happen to do a podcast with the person whose arm you're at the end of. No,
you do a podcast. A podcast.
I love how you...
I captured ISIS, not Obama. Moi.
Now, again, Monsieur President, why does it take you like three or four tries to perfect your accent in any given sentence?
This is just how I rule, Adam Felbert. Adam Felbert, you had a meltdown. You, not me. I did not have a meltdown.
I'm definitely on the verge of one.
I captured ISIS. Moi.
Oh, yes.
I didn't do it. It's okay to do it, and I will do it again. He did it. It is French Trump.
Nice categorical denial. Monsieur President, is Paula in there somewhere?
Yeah, Adam.
Paula, as I was saying when we
what
started
what can I
this...
do for you?
Oh, no. It's Bubba Poundstone. She's got a trucker cap.
It's Fred Mertz Poundstone. What can I do for you, honey bunch?
Yeah. Well, I teased before the break, which is now about a half an hour ago, we were going to explore
TikTok.
Bonnie Burns' latest
Time flies when you're having French Trump.
No, it does not. In fact, it feels like the time-space continuum is being stretched out.
Don't be a fool. Don't be a tough guy, Adam Felbert.
I'm not going to be a tough guy, French Trump. We teased that Bonnie messed something up, and I want everybody to know that what Bonnie Burns, your manager and our producer, messed up was not...
A.K.A. Captain Crinkle.
A.K.A. Captain Crinkle. What she did not mess up was the iTunes ringtone. Of your song, Not My Butterfinger. Yeah,
that is
up there on iTunes. You can buy the ringtone.
Not easy to do, but Bonnie Burns, Captain Crinkle, got available on iTunes now is the ringtone from Not My Butterfinger.
Happened in the same year as the song came out.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
So that was not
No,
what she
not
did.
Only did she get it up in the same year as the song came out, she explained it.
Yeah.
In the same year.
It took most of that year.
Oh, my gosh.
Explanation.
There was so many twists and turns to the story.
Oh, yeah, yeah. you know, at first those tracks were mislabeled.
Yeah, first.
I encourage all our listeners to go back about four episodes. It's easy to spot on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts, because it's the episode that's roughly four times as long as the other ones. And the reason for those extra 3.5 hours
was the tracks were mislabeled. Was it?
More or less. All right. Well, now, we love hearing from all you nobodies out there, and you can email us anytime at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Go ahead. It won't wake us up. And some of you have even sent Paula some tangible physical items.
Yes.
We want to talk about that a little bit.
Yes. We puppet maker Fran Roberts, who is also a seamstress and a fiber artist, sent me a puppet of Mrs. Culpepper.
Is this her right here?
That's her right there.
Well,
I don't know that the likeness is spot on.
I think it's beautiful.
Elmo may have been her father, but she's older than Elmo, which is weird. Still, Mrs. Culpepper was so flattered. I teared up just a little bit when I saw the likeness of myself done by Fran Roberts.
So it was an emotional moment for you.
It was very emotional.
For those of you who...
I teared up. Adam Feldman, I teared up.
Out of where?
Out of my eyes. My eyes, Adam Feldman, look into my eyes.
I'm trying. And now we have another likeness of Mrs. Culpepper.
Another likeness?
Tony Anita Hall brought this in. This one was sent by Luther Fruché.
Fruché.
Yeah.
Luther Fruché.
Yes.
Yes.
Which sounds like a piece of furniture that might be in Mrs. Culpepper's home.
We have...
it's right over near the Fruché. Yeah.
Make yourself comfortable here on the Fruché.
Yeah, exactly.
Put your feet up on the Fruché. So this is a sock puppet that...
Yeah, actual sock.
Luther Fruché has made from an actual sock, and it sports... She sports the famous ruby sateen dress that she's so proud of.
It's a very, very nice ruby sateen dress. Now, we have to get to this next item, and it's gotten more complicated in the last 20 minutes.
Yeah.
But
Katie Heffernan sent me a box of homemade Butterfingers, and frankly, I've been afraid to try one. It does look, however, just to look at them,
she used a candy
thermometer.
Yeah, it looks like the candy bar. Now,
different from what my manager, Bonnie Burns, did when she made hers.
Right.
She just bought a thermometer.
And it turned out to be like a rectal thermometer or something.
Yeah, it was the old kind with mercury in it.
Yeah, it came with a tube of Vaseline.
And it cried when you put it in.
No, but here's what happened. Just during our break.
Yeah.
You know, right between our wonderful guest's appearance and now.
I had to use the bathroom, so we stopped tape for a minute. While you're in the bathroom,
Bonnie is looking at these homemade Butterfingers.
Right.
And Tony Anita Hall, our responsible producer, says to Bonnie, oh, no, Bonnie, don't eat that now because we're going to try it on air.
Right.
Because we're taping a show.
Uh-huh. And Bonnie said, okay, I won't.
And then, seconds later, for God knows what reason, Bonnie was like, well... I'm going to eat it now.
Yeah. Yeah.
So her reaction, which was genuinely priceless.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And
I wish you could have seen the look on her face.
Was captured off mic while we weren't recording.
Oh, my God.
And I don't even know why you did it. But you know,
in the interest of probity, you know, here's the thing. I've never been a fan of the homemade Butterfinger idea.
Okay.
Bonnie said that she would try again to make them, and I kept saying, no, don't, because whatever was in the original Butterfinger was some sort of commercially obtained chemical shit that's not good for you that you can't just buy at the Vons.
I'll let you know that this Katie Heffernan recipe.
Yeah, Adam is about to
sample. I'm about to try it, but Bonnie's reaction was not positive.
Well, in fact, we had to move Mo, my dog, who can track roaches. We had to move him away from the trash can where Bonnie had spit out.
Yeah. Not only that, Bonnie, as you pointed out, just untrained your dog, Mo.
Right.
Because Mo observed Tony Anita Hall saying, Bonnie, don't eat that.
Right.
And Bonnie popping it into her mouth.
Yeah. And then we said to the dog, because the dog was hovering near the trash can. We said, no, don't eat that. She said to herself, so I eat it then, because that's what Captain Crinkle
did. Do you want to try one of these?
I don't.
I'm going to go ahead and try it.
One of my concerns, and I don't know Katie Heffernan. I'll bet she's great.
Okay.
But, you know, these could be laced with something.
Yeah. All right. So don't send us any homemade candies anymore. Now,
Yeah. Adam has a pensive look on his face, I would say.
I'm tripping balls right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've seen trails.
When I move my hand.
Oh, yeah, wow. No, I would say...
He's in a wormhole right now.
Nobody send us any more of these, because we won't eat candy that you randomly send us. But
we did. In fact, five of us in the room sampled it.
Yeah, we could all be dead by morning.
It frightens me to think I'm the only one in the room with the sense not to put it in my mouth.
No. I'll say this.
I'm not known for my caution.
It is possible that Katie sent this by
I'm the only skydiver in the room.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I'm going to say it's possible that Katie might have sent this by slow mail.
What, you think it's a little stale?
It doesn't taste real fresh. But I would say Bonnie said that hers was better. That is 100% not true.
Yeah. Bonnie.
I'm going to finish this.
Bonnie said
and I
that
set myself on fire to avoid finishing Bonnie's.
Yeah. Yeah. Adam did. He popped the last bite of it in his mouth.
It's a little dry.
It's a little dry. See, I just think that it just can't be, the nougat cannot be recreated.
Partially because it's not nougat. Ugh.
Adam, do you hear that phone ringing? The phone's for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Answer the phone, Adam.
Hello?
Hey, Adam. It's me, Mac Lupp here. My friends call me Mac and Cheese because I'm from Wisconsin. It doesn't bother me at all. Miss Poundstone is so obviously right about the nougat. Why would you question that? Can I ask you something, Adam? Can I ask you something?
Yeah, Mac.
Do you walk with the Lord?
I do not walk with the Lord, Mac.
Well, that could be a problem because you're not walking with the Lord. That can create an unhappiness.
Did you go to the same accent school that French?
I slipped a little bit into a Boston accent.
Yeah, I noticed that. Are you originally from Boston, Mac?
I traveled a lot. I spent some time in Boston, but I'm from Wisconsin. Okay. My friends call me Mac and Cheese. Doesn't bother me.
No, I got that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, doesn't bother me at all.
Well, that's good, Mac.
But if you walk with the Lord...
Then I'd understand that nougat is in fact...
It's nougat. Yeah.
It's not nougat, Mac.
It's nougat.
It's a crunchy peanut butter substance.
You know what? I took the time to call you.
Yeah, which is weird because we don't have... This show is not live.
Yeah.
So I don't know how you'd be calling in.
It's costing me money. All right, look, I tried to help you. I don't know what to do with them.
Thank you.
Miss Poundstone's obviously right. All right, see ya, Adam Filmer.
Nice talking to you, Mac and Cheese. All right, and is that all the items that were sent to us?
Wait a minute, answer the phone, Adam.
Really? Is it ringing again, Paula?
Yeah.
Hello?
Hi, Adam, it's me. It's me, Mac LaPierre again.
Oh, yeah, we were just talking.
Yeah.
I got to say, this Butterfinger thing has a terrible aftertaste. Bonnie's in the background going, told you.
Yeah, you know why? Because it has
I'm
no
I'm not going to have
nougat.
Another one.
It's got no nougat.
Look, neither was good. Yeah. I mean, but Katie, thanks for trying.
I think if you walk with the Lord, Adam. All right, I got to go.
Wait, what was that about?
Nothing.
It was weird that listener called back and had nothing to say. It's really odd. I'm just going to go ahead with the show.
Sure.
Anything else from our listeners that we have?
I'm sure we do. Oh, Scott Franciscus just sent me a big fucking bag of cash. Thank you, Scott. That is fantastic. Thank
no
you so much.
No way did that happen.
Oh, yeah.
Scott Franciscus is our imaginary benefactor.
Benefactor. He's not imaginary.
No, he's a real person. He's just not sending us money.
Oh, he sent me a big old bag of cash. I hope I didn't have to divide that among the producers.
Yeah, you're supposed to, I would think.
All right, well, you know what? Let's go through the mailbag.
Adam!
Eric, can I have some mailbag music? Mailbag. Okay, now going to our mailbag, we have so many positive and lovely thoughts. I mean, the vast majority, the ratio is amazing. People, they're nice, they're sweet. There are a few complaints. And we thought, you know, it's the squeaky wheel that gets the grease. Because if somebody wants something changed on our show or has something negative to say, you know... We want to address it.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to address it.
So here's one. I'll read it. Apparently, it's for me.
Yeah.
Subject, Dear Adam, from Gabriel Deo Connell.
Deo.
And he writes, Graduation is not the best Kanye album. You know nothing, go fuck yourself.
Wow. So he's a writer.
Yeah. No, I did.
That is layered. You know what I feel about?
It's got one layer.
It's layered. Yeah.
If one counts as layered, yes.
Yeah. It's layered.
I'll say this. You know what? I frequently would choose Late Registration, the previous album, or from 2 years earlier, from Kanye West as my favorite Kanye album. But you know, I also love Graduation. I think it's a good record. Probably not going to go fuck myself.
Huh. Well, it's your loss.
All right. But thanks for writing in. I do think Graduation is an underrated album, but, you know, we're not a music critic show.
Exactly.
I name checked now. By the way, Anthony Alfaro, I think he said that that's his favorite Kanye album. It is his favorite Kanye album.
Well, you know what you're going to be doing tonight?
Yep. And Anthony Alfaro went to music school. Anyway, here's one that's a little more temperate. Okay, it's from Normal Person. The subject is From Delightful to Trainwreck. Hi.
Uh-oh.
I normally love Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone. I even look forward to Monday mornings. But this week's show took me 3 days to finish, and I finally just had to turn it off. Bonnie's iTunes story was not entertaining in the least. And letting everyone shout over each other is no way to run a podcast. Please keep Captain Crinkle in the background. Disgruntledly yours, Norma in San Francisco.
Huh.
Now,
boy.
That riles me up a little bit.
Oh, riles me up.
Just for that, Bonnie, do you want to come in here and respond to this? Come on up to the microphone, Bonnie Burns, and explain succinctly, if you don't mind. This is a hurtful email.
I'm just throwing this out there, but yeah. I have a feeling that Norma didn't understand it. Bonnie, can you explain how you got...
Captain Crinkle, everybody. Don't do that with the good potato chips. Oh, what's your problem?
Yeah, I think
company.
What Norma's not realizing is that the tracks were mislabeled.
Yeah, and I think the thing is, when we had Bonnie on to explain it, and we didn't let her finish, and there was a lot of people complaining that I interrupted her.
Yeah.
So, Bonnie, let's review. What happened with that first time with the tracks?
I'm in shock that you invited me up here, Adam.
We invited you up here.
He invited me up here.
Over the microphone.
She had to climb the lofty peak of the podcast.
Well, she was trying. Yeah. She was trying to get to the microphone at the beginning of the segment.
You
I was
were
like,
a foot
I
away
have to get
in a
this.
Chair.
Yeah.
I'm so sick from those Butterfingers.
You hated that Butterfinger. You hated, what's her name?
Wow,
Butterfinger.
Boy.
Katie Heffernan.
So I wonder if Norma is still going to listen then, or if that was just it.
Well, Norma, I think you're right, Paula. What Norma didn't understand is what Bonnie went through to try to post that thing on iTunes.
Yeah, it took Norma 3 days to finish it, but it took you, Bonnie, how long to get it up on iTunes?
You know, the tracks were mislabeled.
The tracks were mislabeled,
yeah.
And that created, how long did it take to put it up on iTunes?
You never let me finish explaining.
In no way were you going to get an answer to this question. She asked you how many days.
What you never let me finish explaining was
I got it up, and that's when I realized that the tracks were mislabeled. The tracks were mislabeled, and I had the wrong
Norma
song up.
Norma is fucking steaming right now.
And so I had to
Norma's driving on a commute. She's like flipping people off in her car.
I had to read
driving
and figure out.
If Norma gets pulled over, she's going to play this for the cop.
The cop's going to be like, you're free to go, man.
Yeah. Oh my God.
So I had to read and figure out if I pulled it down, they not let me put your song back up again, which would have been terrible.
The
right?
song, not my Butterfinger.
Right. Yeah.
Sure.
Okay.
For sweeping the nation.
So then I had to read that and then pull it down.
Yeah.
And then figure out how to get the right tracks.
Get the right tracks.
And put it back up again.
You know that website?
Wow. That's it. Ladies and gentlemen, that was an actual explanation.
Do you know that website, Calm? That has sounds that you fall asleep to, like, rain or blowing leaves or maybe just a story.
Yeah.
We should submit Bonnie's explanation of the...
Of posting on iTunes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then it could just go on for days and days and people could just, they'd drift off hearing and then I tried to put it up and then I took it down and then...
But
well,
you
the
have to understand the tracks were mislabeled.
Yeah.
I do love that Bonnie felt like she never got that point across.
I didn't.
Yeah. No. That's exactly what was
Captain
missing
Crinkle,
from
everybody.
It.
Speaking of captains, Paula, you want to read the next one? We got a complaint from a... Bonnie, why don't you sit in for the rest of the segment? What could possibly go wrong?
I'm going to be quiet.
Bonnie's going to be quiet at the microphone. Uh-huh. We got a complaint about Mrs. Culpepper.
About Mrs. Culpepper?
Yeah, about Mrs. Culpepper. Here's what nobody wrote. Subject, Mrs. Culpepper. Yes. From Jesse. Well, Jesse, I'm so happy to receive your message. Hi. Trying to say this as respectfully as possible, owing to Mrs. Culpepper's age and breeding, but can someone please, please, please,
put a muzzle on the lady or at least have a start-stop warning signal to help protect us from Culpepper moments.
Egad.
This is a calumny.
It's a vile calumny.
It's a vile calumny. I don't recall the meaning of the word, but I'm certain that it applies in this. Now, I love pretty much everything about your podcast, Impala, but clearly Mrs. Culpepper is a damaged spirit who at any given moment may jump in and occupy poor unsuspecting Paula's body and mind. I am deeply concerned, not just for our ears, but for Paula as well. Will there come a time where Mrs. Culpepper and perhaps a few cowering balloon animals are all that remain? Thank you for any help you can provide, Jess.
Oh, dear. Well, Mrs. Culpepper, I...
Well, Jess, let me just say this. When Adam takes a moment out from fucking himself... Perhaps he can address your... I'm shocked. I'm shocked.
Damaged spirit that occupies Paula's body.
I consider myself a pleasant addition to nobody listens to Paula Poundstone.
The damage is quite clear, though. I mean, yeah. Ever since your husband left you, I mean, it seems like you're...
Well, he didn't leave,
oh,
Adam.
He didn't?
No, he was quite attached to me.
Oh, okay.
He was, we were very much in love, Adam Felber. Do you like my sateen dress?
I do. It's a ruby sateen dress. You know, it strikes me that we've fielded a bunch of complaints from our listeners and denied them all and made things worse in each and every case.
Well, yes.
So,
to me, this Jessie is just an unhappy character. Perhaps she was not raised right. That's a possibility. She was not in all probity. I would have to say that my thought on Jessie is that she was not raised properly.
That could be true. And Jessie, you might have written this a little while ago. Now that you've met French Trump, you're grateful for Mrs. Culpepper.
I did not have a meltdown. Jessie had a meltdown.
I think it's quite possible that you're both having meltdowns. All right. Wow, so that's our mailbag. Mailbag theme. All right. Now, Paula, you're always on the road. Where are you going to be next?
I hate self-promotion.
I know you do. You know what? Let's not do it. Let's move on.
I'm going to be in Alexandria, Virginia at the Birchmere Music Hall on November 15th, 16th, and 17th. That's a Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Wow.
And on New Year's Eve, I'll be in San Francisco at the Sydney Goldstein Theater, formerly the Norse.
Okay, your complete touring schedule is available at paulapoundstone.com, and you can email us at nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. Any complaints that you have, we promise to make them worse. You could win a bar of hotel soap autographed by Paula Poundstone.
You know, but Adam,
yes.
That's fresh hotel soap. You can win a bar of fresh hotel soap.
Yeah,
so
okay.
Important to use that
adjective. Still think it's implied. And if you have a theme song entry for us or a short description of our show, you may email it to the same address. That's nobodylistenstopaulapoundstone@gmail.com. We'll be back right after this thing. According to climate scientists, we have 10 years and 10 weeks until the Earth begins to become uninhabitable.
We are so thrilled at your interest in attending Hieronymus Wiggenstaff's School for Heroism and Villainy. Wiggenstaff's beautiful campus boasts state-of-the-art facilities and instructors with real-world experience. We are also proud to say that our alumni have gone on to be professional heroes and villains in the most renowned kingdoms in the world. But of course, you are not applying to the main school, are you? You're applying for our sidekick and henchperson annex. You will still benefit from the school's amazing campus, and you'll have a lifetime of steady employment. Of course, there's no guarantee how long that lifetime will be.
Join the McElroys as they return to Dungeons & Dragons with The Adventure Zone Graduation. Every other Thursday on Maximum Fun, or wherever podcasts are found.
Hello, this is Amy Mann.
And I'm Ted Leo.
And we have a podcast called The Art of Process.
We've been lucky enough over the past year to talk to some of our friends and acquaintances from across the creative spectrum to find out how they actually work.
And so I have to write material that makes sense and makes people laugh. I also have to think about what I'm saying to people.
If I kick your ass, I'll make you famous.
The fight to get LGBTQ representation in the show.
We weirdly don't know as many musicians as you would expect.
I really just became a political speechwriter by accident, realizing that I have accidentally pulled my pants down.
Listen and subscribe at MaximumFun.org or wherever you get your podcast.
It's like if the guinea pig was complicit in helping the scientist.
On this day in unremarkable history, Miles Standish said, "I moved to the New World because kilometers Standish sounded awful."
Welcome back, all you nobodies, and thanks once again to HelloFresh. Thanks again to HelloFresh. Go to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone9 and enter Poundstone9. That's for 9 free meals with HelloFresh by going to HelloFresh.com/Poundstone9 and entering Poundstone9. Paula, we're at that part of the show.
Oh, this is my favorite part of the show. You know why?
Why?
Because, Adam, I have good news.
What is that?
As you know, in order to keep making Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, which we love doing, we have to increase the size of our listening audience. You are also aware that the best way to do that is for our listeners to tell their friends and loved ones.
Word of mouth is essential.
That they enjoy listening to Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone,
absolutely
the comedy
true
podcast. Unfortunately, as you are also painfully aware, sometimes people find that an awkward conversation.
I am not aware of that particular thing because I do not think it's a fact.
So for the last few weeks,
it's not like we're a dirty podcast.
Didn't a listener give you an assignment? So for the last few weeks,
wow,
I have suggested some simple sample dialogue that listeners can use to smooth that friction.
Yes.
Here's the good news, Adam. Listeners have been telling me that they have been able to use the simple sample dialogues.
Have they?
Someone just told me that they are planning on using a recent simple sample dialogue when they visit a museum this weekend. And of course, we heard from a listener who fell into a well and was able to listen to a downloaded episode of Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast.
I feel like that might not be true.
I think it was. So inspired by this good news, here is this week's suggestion of a simple sample dialogue to spread the word about our show. Listener, just climb on into this cart, make yourself comfortable, and I'll take the reins. It starts a little slow. Get up there, sugar, sugar.
Okay.
Listener's friend, so you dangle that sugar in front of them? Listener, that's right. Get up there, sugar, sugar. That's how I steer them. Listener's friend, well, this is amazing. There's going to be a million ants pulling this cart. How do you do it?
Oh, for God's sake.
Listener, number 378,421, stay in line. The hardest part is making the harness. Get up there, sugar, sugar. Come on, guys, where are you going? Shit, a picnic. It's hard to steer them when they find a picnic. Get up there, yeah, yeah, sugar, sugar.
Why do we do this?
Listener's friend, whoa, that was close. They almost pulled us down that embankment. Whatever gave you the idea to make an ant-drawn cart?
God damn it.
Listener, well, I've never felt comfortable telling you this. See, Adam?
I stand corrected.
I am a Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone listener. It's a comedy podcast. Listener's friend, they teach you how to make an ant cart on that show? Listener, no, but you do learn a lot from listening. Sloths don't like to be moved. It's such a funny show. I laugh so much. It just leaves me feeling light, sharp, and very creative. Oh, my God, an ice cream truck. Hold on. Listener's friend, they're chasing the ice cream truck? The wheels are going to come off. How are you going to stop them? Listener, I hate to do it, but... Listener's friend, are you spraying them? Listener, no, I just make the noise. It scares the shit out of them. Listener's friend,
I'm gonna go step out for a minute.
Thank goodness they're slowing down. This is fantastic. If Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone, the comedy podcast, inspires you this much, I'm gonna listen too. See, Adam?
Yeah, Paula. I feel like in the past few weeks we'd actually made progress on these things, and that, like,
yeah, it's really increasing the numbers.
Well, it hasn't been increasing the numbers, but you the last few have been somewhat plausible scenarios.
Yeah.
Like a person on tour at a museum might, you know, yell for everybody to listen to
your
podcast.
The weight of ants in the whole world is more than the weight of human beings in the whole world. There are tons of ants. This is a totally plausible scenario.
The biomass of ants is not the issue here. It is the feasibility.
There are tons of ants. It makes sense to harness them and have them as opposed to fossil fuels. This could be the answer.
Okay, there's a lot of reasons why this is not the answer.
Big fucking roach in my bedroom last night, and my dog can hunt them.
Yeah, but I guess my point is, until the day comes when we harness the power of ants to pull cards.
Adam, the phone's ringing. Get the phone.
Oh, God. Hello?
Hi, Adam. This is Mac Lapierre. My friends call me Mac, and she's... Why are you arguing with Miss Poundstone? She's obviously right.
About what, Mac?
About the ants.
How do you know about the ants? We're not a live podcast.
Do you walk? Do you walk with the Lord?
I don't, Mac. But do you spy on our show?
Fellow, I enjoy that. I love the show. I use the simple sample dialogue.
Oh yeah, which simple sample dialogue do you use most recently, Mac?
I have an ant cart.
I'm calling bullshit on you, Mac Lapierre.
There is a way you can time travel, Adam.
We did talk to our guest about that. I'd love our guest to speak on the feasibility of ant-based transportation, because I think that no matter how big the biomass, ants are still really slow relative to the speed that humans need to move at. Am I right about that? I'm getting a
he's
kind
gone,
of a,
Adam.
He's not he's gone. Gone. He's right over there in the corner.
You whack with the Lord.
I don't, Mac. Mac, I'm hanging up. He's gone. Hey, nobodies, remember our email address is nobodylistenstoballofpounds@gmail.com.
Hello?
How are you still there, Mac?
Hey, Adam Filbert, it's me, Mac Lapierre.
Yeah.
My friends call me Mac and Cheese. It doesn't bother me at all.
Why would it?
From Wisconsin.
Yes.
I gotta go, Adam.
You called back to say you gotta go?
I gotta go. My ants are running all
Nobody
over the place.
Nobody believes you, Mac.
I need to harness them to the cart.
All right, our address is nobodylistenstoballofpoundstone@gmail.com.
And you can find me and Adam on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter.
Oh, my God.
And you can find my remarkably soft tri-poly blend t-shirt with the self-portrait on the left breast and the memorable quote on the back at paulapoundstone.com.
You know, and that's interesting, and I'd like to say to our brand new science officer that we've invented a substance here on this show, much like your Dysonium, we've invented Tri-Poly Blend, completely fictitious fabric.
It's not fictitious at all. No, Adam, there's someone on the phone for you.
I'm not going to answer the phone. I put it on silent mode.
I'm going to have to leave him a message.
How are we hearing Mac leaving a message? Anyway, it's a tri-blend. It's not a tri-poly blend.
If you walk with the Lord, I don't think you'd be so angry.
I'm not going to walk with the Lord. This is our that's our show. Nobody Listens to Paula Poundstone is hosted by Paula Poundstone and yours truly, Adam Felber. Produced by Paula Poundstone, Adam Felber, Bonnie Captain Crinkle Burns. Thanks for sitting in, Bonnie. Ken Lezebnik and Tony Nita Hall. Technical direction by Ray Horseman and mixing by Anthony Alfaro. Special thanks to tonight's house band, returning champion Eric Calver.
Woo!
And thanks to our fantastic guest, Andre Bormanis.
Very nice.
Security muscle is provided by Tyler Knives Burke.
Woo!
Transcription services for the show provided by TranscribeMe. For your special Paula Poundstone discount, use code Paula Poundstone when placing your order at TranscribeMe.com.
That's our show for tonight. Won't somebody please listen to me?
Yeah. Try Polly. Still not a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
Whew. Hey, there's my phone.
Adam.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned. Audience supported.